Well, good morning. If you want to open up your Bibles, if you've got a pew Bible, the passage can be found on page 1651 today for us as Chris continues in his series in 2 Corinthians. And we're reading from verse 16, just to the end of the chapter. Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honour the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. In addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honour to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason our pride in you, so that the churches can see it.
Thanks, Dan. Well, my name's Chris, if I haven't met you yet. I'm one of the ministers here at Willows, and it's lovely to be able to open up God's Word together. And as Dan mentioned, we are continuing in our series in 2 Corinthians. And so why don't we pray, and we'll jump in. Father God, we do thank you for your Word. Thank you that you've preserved it for us, to shape us in the image of your Son. And so we ask that you would do that this morning. Please work in us by your Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to understand your word, and more than that, apply it to our hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I find it super awkward talking about money, and yet here we are again, talking about it for the second week in a row. As I mentioned last week, we're looking at it for 3 weeks. We don't usually like to talk about money all that much here at church, at least preach on it, but that's the section of God's Word that we find ourselves in, so we want to do it justice. I think part of the awkwardness for me is there's a pretty direct link between your generosity in giving to church and me being able to get paid, and so me talking about money feels a little bit self-serving there. I think the other thing that makes it super awkward is, at the moment particularly, there's been a lot of media coverage about churches misusing funds. I mean, Hillsong's been in the media recently, getting panned because they used the church funds to hire private jets and send their pastors to luxurious retreats and things. And the watching world finds that incredibly offensive. Not to mention the thousands of people who gave in good faith because they wanted to honour the Lord Jesus. And it turns out their money got used to primarily honour people. Now, I don't want this to be a Hillsong slamming sermon, because the reality is they're not the only ones that do this sort of thing. I've heard of lots of churches, little churches included, where church funds have been misused. And it's devastating when that happens. It's incredibly destructive for the gospel. And it's dishonouring to the Lord Jesus when a church misuses money. But we find out today that it turns out this isn't just a modern problem. This is actually something that Paul himself was incredibly aware of, which is why he's actually written this little section to the Corinthians that we're looking at this morning. We saw last week in the passage immediately before this that Paul had called the Corinthians to give really generously to this collection that he's been taking up for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And now he tells the Corinthians the things that he's putting in place to make sure that this collection is above reproach. He's putting in place systems to make sure that he's accountable and transparent in the way that he handles this money that he's collecting. And he's telling them this so that they can trust that the money that they give will actually make it to the Corinthians in Jerusalem and aren't going to be used to buy Paul a private jet or something. And so today, as we think about this, we're going to think about what this looks like for us as a church to be transparent and accountable when it comes to gospel funds and why. And even how you guys can be involved in that. So let's jump in. Well, the first thing we see is that Paul wants to honour the Lord Jesus in the way that he administers this money that he's taking up. And so to do that, he puts in place measures to ensure that there is accountability and transparency around this money. Let's pick it up from verse 16. Thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we're sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honour the Lord himself and show our eagerness to help. So as I've already mentioned, and as we saw last week, in the passage immediately before this, Paul has been encouraging the Corinthians to give generously. He wants to do this appeal to take care of the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And he's reminded them of Christ's amazing generosity to them, because he wants that to be their primary motivator in giving. And now he begins to outline how he himself is going to ensure that there's actually accountability and transparency when it comes to this money. He wants to make sure that this money actually makes it to the destination. And we see the things that he's putting in place. Firstly, he's sending Titus, who they know, and whose concern for them rivals Paul's, he says in verse 16. He's a trustworthy, godly guy, and he's already earned their trust. But Paul isn't finished there. He's not just wanting one other person. In verse 18, he says he's sending the brother, who is praised by all the churches. Now, we don't know exactly who that is, but we know that he's praised by the churches. He's a trustworthy guy as well. He's probably been sent by the Macedonian churches, which he seems to make clear in verse 19. They actually chose him to accompany Paul and Titus as they carry this offering. And Paul tells them all this, probably because Titus and this brother are probably standing there with this letter, having delivered it to them. But he also wants them to see and trust these systems that he's putting in place. He wants to be accountable. He wants to be transparent, which means for him making sure that there's actually multiple people, multiple trustworthy people, keeping an eye on this money. We actually find there's one more that he adds to this sort of crew. Over in verse 22, there's another godly bloke who Paul simply calls our brother. So there's Titus, the brother, and our brother that he's sending. He wants godly eyes on this money. And he wants godly eyes that are actually chosen as representatives of these churches that are actually contributing to this appeal. And he's going to all this effort because, as he says in verse 19, he wants to administer this collection for the honour of the Lord Jesus himself. And to do this, he wants to make sure that he's completely above reproach. He makes this crystal clear for us from verse 20. We want to avoid any criticism of the way that we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. Paul's going out of his way to make sure that this collection of money is above reproach. He wants to make sure that he doesn't just do what's right in the eyes of God, like that's super important, right? But he also wants to make sure he does things right in the eyes of people, everyone looking on as well. He doesn't want to put any stumbling blocks in anyone's way for the gospel. And after all, it is a fairly substantial amount of money that he's collecting here. And so he wants representatives from these churches whom they trust, to keep an eye on this money as well. Paul knows that money can be a massive temptation. There's a danger there. He's been asking them to give generously, and he wants them to know that they can do that in the confidence that their money will actually make it to the destination that they're giving it for. You see, for Paul, accountability and transparency are really important when you're dealing with money. I read an article during the week that basically says the same thing. I was reading an article about journalists raising some concerns about the big four auditing firms. If you don't know who they are, that's sort of Ernst Young, PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC, KPMG, and Deloitte. So they're the four. And so the article is raising a concern because these four companies, they do 95% of the auditing for the ASX 200 companies. That's the top 200 biggest companies in Australia. These four companies do 95% of the auditing. And they were noticing that the auditing standards had actually started to slip, which was a real concern for the author, because shareholders, investors, banks, they rely on these auditors to actually give accountability to these companies, to make sure that their finances are actually right, that they're not misusing funds or anything like that. And it raised concerns because it noted that back in 2008, with the global financial crisis, part of the thing that triggered that was bad auditing. And so the article was actually calling for more auditing of the auditors, funnily enough, however that works. And I think that makes sense, right? Because when you're handling large quantities of money, you want there to be good accountability for that. You want there to be good transparency, because it is a massive temptation to try and siphon some off. And for Paul, this holds true for the church as well. Only he's got a far higher reason for doing this. He wants to honour the Lord Jesus, not just attract shareholders or investors. He wants to make sure that he does everything right in the eyes not only of God, but of everyone looking on. He wants to be above reproach. Now the question is, this is an odd passage for us to think through and apply. Maybe one way that we can do that is, I think as a church, we want to be above reproach when it comes to the way that we handle our finances. We want to make sure that we've got good financial systems that provide for accountability and transparency. And as a church, we actually want that. And we've tried to put in place systems that help us do that. And I actually just want to tell you a little bit about those systems. Firstly, any money transfers we do, it requires two people to actually sign off on that. So no money leaves our account without at least two people signing off on that. Now, our staff, we do have church credit cards, but each of us, anytime we make a purchase, we need to provide receipts for that. Any cash that we collect here needs to be counted by two people, put in tamper-proof bank deposit bags, put in a safe that requires two keys to open it. And each year we elect godly men and women to oversee the finances of our church. And besides all that, we get our books audited by an external independent auditor. And at our annual congregational meeting, we publish our expenditure. We actually open up our books for the congregation to see and ask questions about. We invite the congregation to come at our yearly budget meeting, which is happening in November, to help us think through how we spend our money and what we spend our money on. Now, I tell you all this for the same reason as Paul, basically. I want you to feel confident that when you give money to church, your money will actually help further the gospel going out from Willows. We don't want it to be siphoned off to something else. Because when it comes to the way that we spend the money that you give, we want to be wise. And we want to make sure that we're accountable and transparent in that as well. Because ultimately, like Paul, we want to honor the Lord Jesus in how we use our church finances. But then as we keep reading, we see that Paul encourages the Corinthians to welcome that accountability and cooperate with it. So this might be where you guys actually have a role to play in this. So let's have a look from verse 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they're representatives of the churches and an honour to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. Paul's basically saying here that we've sent you these guys to make sure that this collection is all above board. Welcome them. Show these men the proof of your love, he says. Paul's made it clear that he wants to honour the Lord Jesus, and part of the way that the Corinthians can do that in this whole collection is by welcoming and cooperating with this means of accountability and transparency that he's set up. He wants them to cooperate with these guys that he sent. One of the ways that we can see this in the life of our church is at our annual congregational meetings. Now, they're funny things. They're often very routine. They sort of, yeah, and some of the parts of the meeting can be quite boring. One part that I think of is the treasurer's report. We basically open up our books, as I've said, and show where we've spent our money for the year. And we provide an opportunity for members to ask questions. So why'd you spend money on that? Why'd you spend that much money on that? What's included in that sundry expenses line item there? Those sorts of things. And I've been in meetings, and at my worst, sometimes when sort of those questions get asked, I'm just like, stop asking questions. Let's just get out of here. Let's get this meeting done with. That's me at my worst. Because Paul, I think, is saying that we shouldn't do that. Because that's actually not welcoming of accountability and transparency. That's not cooperating with it. We should instead be the complete opposite. We should welcome questions about our finances. After all, our annual congregational meeting is one of the times in the year where we go over our finances, where we see where we've spent money. Another example might be our annual budget meeting, where we actually set our budget for the coming year. At our ACM, we also elect our committee of management. We elect the people who are actually going to be managing our finances. These two meetings are some of the primary ways that we provide for accountability and transparency here. Now, we've got a budget of around $650,000 as a church. That's a lot of money. We do want to make sure that we are accountable there for how we spend that. So I think in our meetings, we actually want to cultivate a culture that welcomes and actually encourages questions. We actually want to foster accountability. And I think that's what it looks like. Of course, that only works when there are actually people at our meetings. So this might be a part where you guys can play. I mean, I think our regular attendance at our ACM is around 20 to 30 people. Out of our regular sort of adult attendance on a Sunday is about 450. Now, don't get me wrong, we're really thankful for the people who come, but I wonder if an application of this passage is for you guys to accept this invitation that we're extending to you to keep us accountable, to actually help us be transparent with you about the way that we use money. Maybe that might mean making our ACM and our budget meeting a priority. Maybe that might mean actually carefully reading our financial documents that we provide for you. Thinking about them, asking the hard questions. This could be a great way that we as a whole church can actually work together to ensure that there is actually good accountability and transparency when it comes to our finances. Because when we don't do this, that's when we can get ourselves into trouble, and we don't want to go there. Because ultimately, we want to honor the Lord Jesus in how we spend money as a church. We would hate for any misuse of money here to be a barrier to someone hearing the gospel. So let's pray that we would use our finances well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have been so generous to us in so many ways, including the finances that you've provided for us as a church. And Lord God, we ask that you would help us delight to be accountable and transparent in the way that we use our church funds, and help us work together to be wise in how we do that. Help us foster a culture that actually loves questions, that actually welcomes accountability. Lord God, please help us never put any barriers in the place of people hearing the gospel. Instead, help us honor the Lord Jesus, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.